Tune into Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Psy's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Psy's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations and respectful greetings to all the listeners of Morning Glory. Good morning, my name is Karuna and I thank you for joining us on Morning Glory Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, Andhra Pradesh, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today, dear listeners, is the first day of June 2017 and coincidentally, it also happens to be the very first day of the rest of our lives. What an ideal moment it is, dear listeners, to focus on the love and light of all our collective lives. The source of divine, unconditional and infinite grace and protection that we enjoy unasked. Our beloved and beautiful God, Bhagwan Baba. Let us offer our loving salutations at His lotus feet in our hearts. How can we ever thank you enough, dear Bhagwan? Just to take a little quote from Robert Munsch's famous poem and twist it, I would love to tell Swami, as I love you forever, I like you for always, as long as I'm living, my mother you shall be, on behalf of all of us. The time in the ashram, dear sisters and brothers, is exactly 38 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and I'm early by 2 minutes. I think the aarti ended very, very precisely today, that is why I'm a little early. The current temperature outside our studios is 27 degrees Celsius. Today we are expecting daytime highs of 38 and lows of 26 degrees Celsius. In Fahrenheit, that is a maximum of 100 and a minimum of 79. The sky is a mix of sun and cloud, but more sun and fewer clouds, with a somewhat pleasant breeze. Clearly, the universe did pay heed to our prayers from last week when we pleaded to the monsoon to come soon. Dear sisters and brothers, after prolonged spell of hot and humid weather, we have cracked the 40 degree floor and we are on to better weather conditions and definitely cooler, breezier mornings, evenings and nights. Over the next 1 week, the weather forecast is calling for a marked relief from the heat that we experienced in Parthi this summer up until recently. Personally, I think it's all a divine conspiracy, because Swami's beloved students are back to their schools and many of them are joining today. Some joined yesterday, and same with the colleges. You can see the buzz outside the hostels, and Swami is treating them to kinder weather conditions as part of their welcome home treat. And why not? Swami's always said that his students are his only property, and his students in turn reciprocate the sentiment by making him proud and happy. Dear listeners, today in the second half of the show, I will be sharing with you the stellar, outstanding and mind-blowing results that Bhagwan Baba's beloved children here in Prashanthi Nilayam have achieved in the national high school exams known as the 12th class CBSE exams. CBSE stands for the Central Board of Secondary Education, and it conducts exams for lakhs of students every year in India. This is the graduation for high school for us. The report cards have just come in, and I urge you to stay with me for the entire duration of Morning Glory so that I can share the wonderful results with you. Also, I cannot let this moment go by without thanking each and every listener of last week's special episode of Morning Glory who sent us their loving feedback. We are really thankful that you enjoyed the May 25th, 2017 episode of Morning Glory, where we had most of the RGs on the show to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live. And I want to specially thank the following listeners who emailed me while the show was still going on. Brother Devendra Kumar, Ashok and Monica Kriplani from Hong Kong, Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto, Canada, Tarun Kati Ghosh from Kolkata, Bala Manyan from Bahrain, Babita Mehtani from Hong Kong, Mrudula Murthy from Bangalore, and Sister Mrudula, I have taken note of your request to have more quizzes and questions on Morning Glory, which I had paused because I was always short of time, and normally I don't like to go over because the next program, Answering Booth, is so helpful to so many people, so I try not to cut into the time. So I will try to bring in more questions as and when possible, when the time allows me. But thank you for that suggestion. I'm glad you enjoy answering our quizzes. Sister Jayashri Amarnath from Bangalore and Lalita Sai from Bangalore. Thanks also go out to Mrs. Nina Banerjee from Puttaparthi, Aarti Krishnan from Chennai, Sister Priya Sujit, Mrs. Sondarya Krishnamurthy from Chennai, Divya Trivedi from Malaysia, Sister K. Vijayalakshmi, Brother Mukesh Sangarika, I think I didn't say that right, Brother Mukesh Sangrajka from the United Kingdom, Sister Praveena Kilpadi from Delhi, Brother Dayanand S., Sai Sudha, Shashi Kumar, Sai Divya and Sai Mohan from Mumbai. And if I missed any names, I respectfully beg your pardon. But it was wonderful that you enjoyed the interaction, and because Brother Bishu is traveling and Brother he's traveling out of Puttaparthi, and Brother CG has just returned, so I'll just give him enough room to get caught up with his work. Next week, I will try to have CG on the show because those are the two RGs that we missed last week, so I'll try to make up for that. And now, dear sisters and brothers, I'm delighted to bring you a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. And I can give you one guarantee before you hear it. This is an interview that you will want to hear more than once. This is one of the finest conversations I was honored to ever record with a Sai medical professional. His name is Dr. Upendra Acharya. And this distinguished doctor is the medical superintendent of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. Dear, please enjoy this conversation and send me your feedback as soon as possible at karuna@radiosai.org or better still at listener@radiosai.org. After this interview, I will gladly share the results of our students' grade 12 exams with you, and for details on that story, please stay with me for the entire duration of Morning Glory. Because I will bring those, I will get all the results for you on the other side of the interview with Dr. Acharya, which is coming up right here, right now. So please have a listen and stay tuned to Morning Glory. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity. My guest today is Dr. Upendra G. Acharya, the medical superintendent of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital, Whitefield. Dr. Acharya has been associated with the Whitefield General Hospital of Bhagwan Baba since February of 2010, and he has distinguished himself in the medical field internationally. He has served as the medical director and consultant physician for dermatology and venereology at the Dubai Herbal and Treatment Center in Dubai, UAE for 8 years up until 2010. Earlier on, he also headed the Department of Health and Medical Services for the Government of Dubai in UAE. He has been associated with the World Health Organization as well as the National Health Services in the UK. In terms of his education, he received his MBBS from Gujarat University in Ahmedabad, India in 1963 and his Diploma in Child Health from Glasgow, UK, his Diploma in Venerology from Liverpool, UK and his membership of the Royal College of Physicians, UK in London in 1971. In 1986, he qualified for the Fellowship of the Royal College of Physicians in London, UK. Dr. Acharya has served as the founder chairman of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization in Dubai Center since 1980, as well as the chairman from 2000 to 2009 and as regional medical coordinator for Gulf and Middle East up until 2009. During this period of distinguished career as a doctor and as a Sai Sevak, Dr. Acharya has gathered a treasure trove of Sai experiences that we wish to hear about today. And I'm very pleased to tell you that Dr. Acharya is a person who has made copious notes after every interaction with Bhagwan, and luckily he has that binder with us here in the studio today with him. So on that happy note, I welcome Dr. Acharya. Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram to you.
And welcome to Tryst with Divinity on Radio Sai.
Thank you.
It's so nice to finally have you. Sir, your journey to Baba began in 1979. Under what circumstances and how?
First of all, let me start by expressing my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, and reverential and loving pranams for giving me an opportunity to be a part of his Sai mission.
Oh, you're so humble.
And the journey with divinity actually started with my first physical darshan of Bhagwan on the 23rd of December 1979 at Vrindavan, Whitefield. And it all happened with Mr. R.N. Rai Kapoor, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan from Wembley in the UK, who was in Dubai at that time, or a few years earlier in connection with his business, and then later retired and settled in UK. So while I was visiting him, he said, "I'm taking a group of devotees to Parthi. Would you like to join us since you worked in UK for all these years?" I said, "Why not? I never even thought that I was the only physician, and how could I take leave 2-3 times in a year at that time?" But it all happened. It was his grace. And
were you familiar with Baba by then?
No. In fact, I had only heard about him. I heard about him from Mr. Manubhai Patel from Kenya. And Mr. Manubhai Patel was an office bearer, and he had met Baba during his stay in Africa. So while we were at Mr. Rai Kapoor's place, he suggested that we visit Manubhai, and that's how he showed us the video of Baba and Amrit and Vibhuti coming on the photos, and so that was the first introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no doubt that in our very first meeting with Swami, there was not a shade of doubt. In the very first visit to Parthi,
that was in Vrindavan, 79.
That was from 23rd to 27th, we were in Vrindavan.
Okay.
27th onwards, we came to Parthi with the London group.
Okay.
Now, we had, on the 1st of January, after celebrating the New Year in Prashanti, I told Mr. Rai Kapoor, "You know, it's time, we are very happy, we've come to Bhagwan, we've had darshan, and we want to go back, this thing." And he told me, "Doctor, don't go back, Swami is going to see you tomorrow." I said, "What guarantee, Mr. Kapoor?" He said, "You don't believe me?" He used to sit with his tape recorder. He had permission from Swami to record in the veranda. So he has wonderful tapes of all recordings while he used to come to Parthi. And then Mr. Rai Kapoor plays the tape back, and I hear him talking to Swami, saying, "Swami, my doctor has come." Before he could say anything, Baba has replied, "I know, I know, I will see them tomorrow." Caught on the tape.
How precious is that?
So, then he said, "Now you believe me?" I said, "Yes." So we stayed back. And on the 2nd of January, Swami called us for the interview. So that was four of us, my wife, myself, and my two daughters.
That would be 2nd January 1980.
80.
Right.
And first thing Swami asked me, "You have devotion with Lord Srinivasa?" Because our family deity was Tirupati Srinivasa. I said, "Yes, Swami." I had some experiences in Tirupati which I wanted to ask Bhagwan, but he put a stop to it. He said, "All are one." And he didn't allow me to speak on that subject anymore. He called us into the personal interview chamber, and to my children, he spoke in English. To my wife, he spoke in Kannada. And with me, he spoke both in Tamil and Hindi. So we were exposed to these four languages in the first interview. And in the very first interview, he welcomed us by saying, "Less luggage, more comfort, less luggage, more comfort," twice. We normally, as a family, used to travel very light. At that time, because we had just entered into Swami's fold, we didn't know much about the body-mind complex and how things interact. Later on, in subsequent interviews, when Swami again repeated, "Less luggage, more comfort," he had at that time primed us so much. He said, "Reduce desires, reduce desires." So, and then he also gave that example that when you come to Parthi, you reach your destination, keep your burden off. Don't carry with you back. So this is what the interaction was in the very first interview. And then he told me, started in Hindi, both doubt karta hai. Right, wrong, waving his finger.
So you have a lot of doubt about right and wrong.
So he said, don't doubt what you are doing is right. Ask here.
If this says yes,
that is right. Mm-hmm. And that gave me a tremendous confidence of taking decisions.
So how do you go about it? So if you are in doubt whether you're deciding on something, if it's right or wrong, how do you refer to your heart?
I just want to say that I've also gone into energy medicine.
Right.
And in energy medicine, everything is at the heart level.
Mm.
You communicate at heart level.
Mm.
And in one interview, Swami even asked, what is communication? And we said, understanding each other. He said, no, communication is a language from heart to heart, not from brain to the mouth, but it's heart to heart. So, meaning everything is suffused with love. When it is filled with love, there can be no other quality with it. Everything is pure love. So when that happens, you take the right decision. And he also gave us a thing that we were about to set up Balvikas classes
in Dubai.
We had arranged everything, but we thought, you know, we must come seek his blessings before we open Balvikas, because this was something we were doing it for the first time. Swami called us for an interview, both my wife and myself, and he said, when you are going to do anything good, you don't have to take permission.
Oh, that's such a good guideline.
Yeah.
Reassuring.
Yes. So, and he said, I know you have kept everything ready. You have come here to seek my blessings. And he gave us some guidelines. He said, I want quality, not quantity. 8 to 10 students in a class, and don't go beyond 12 at any time. And it so happened later on, because the numbers were increasing, we did go beyond 12 and realized that we were not doing the right. And then we had to open some additional classes. So when Swami has said something, that's the word, final word.
For all times.
For all times. And we should never even analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
We just follow to the letter, to the core. And he said, regarding quality, a teaspoon of cow's milk is better than a liter of donkey's milk. Even if you have 8 students, or if you are doing bhajans, even if you have a small number, it doesn't matter, as long as they all are singing from the heart. I want quality at all times. And he has, you know, insisted on that at every walk of life.
And you can see that throughout Swami's mission and everything that Swami has set up, quality is of paramount significance.
So that was the first interview. That was one. And during a short stay in Parthi, I came across a few incidents that left me no trace of doubt that Swami was no ordinary human being. He is God.
What were those episodes?
One was, we had a young lady who had come in a wheelchair from UK. She had not walked. She went into the interview room in the wheelchair and came out walking. That was something that stunned me, because I had seen her going in the wheelchair and she had not walked. The second, I came across a doctor and his child who had a hole in the heart. And this doctor was happened to be 1 year junior to me, also who qualified from Gujarat. And Swami told, no operation. He just rubbed the child's heart. When they went back to UK, the consultant surgeon was literally amazed. The heart had reduced in size, the ECG was normal, but the murmur was still there. And he said there was no need for urgent surgery at this moment. And Swami had told this doctor, come with the child in 6 months' time. It so happened, in 6 months' time, we again met. And so I had a good chance of following up what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
This child, Swami, this time materialized a Shirdi Baba idol and said, do abhishekam, milk abhishekam, give a spoon of milk every day to the baby, he'll be all right, no surgery. And to my amazement, 25 years later, I meet this boy. He found a girl in Dubai, and I even attended his marriage.
God bless him, and he's hale and healthy, I'm sure.
And he's hale and healthy. So this was something in 1980 which impressed me so much. You know, just rubbing on the chest had cleared the hole in the heart. That was second. The third, I met another devotee who told me I was absolutely fine. I had no problems, no symptoms, nothing. Swami looked at me and said, go to Chennai, at that time Madras, and they said, see a neurosurgeon. He said, Swami, I'm fine. So Baba told him, no, I'm telling you, go. When he had his checkup, there was a small tumor. And he said, look, I had this tumor removed and this is the scar. So that was it in January 1980. And in July 1980, I wasn't there, but my wife and two daughters were traveling from Bombay to Bangalore, and Swami was on that flight. So they had a wonderful experience after the first interview in 6 months' time.
They're on the Indian Airlines flight.
They're on the Indian Airlines flight from Bombay to Bangalore. Unfortunately, I was not there. So they had again darshan, and they were able to go to the front and touch his feet. So that was something.
Mid-air. So nice. So dramatic.
Yes. And then my first introduction to a medical camp was in 1981. I was with one Dr. Anand Mohan from Kerala. In those days, the camp used to be held in the Sai Kulwanthal shed where the ambulance used to be parked. And one or two bays used to be emptied and filled with all the tables and medications. Swami would come there, light the lamp, and then he would go around and touch a few of the medicines. And whatever he used to touch would be the treatment. And I have seen half a tablet, one tablet, clearing up anybody's illness. You really have to see to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, he said, Doctor, I'll tell you about my personal incidents about Swami and the medical camp. An elderly man came to Parthi. Swami was already out on darshan. So he stood near the gate. At that time, there was no Sai Kulwanthal. It was all open. And so Swami finished going around the lady's side and came near the gate and had a long stare at this person who was at the gate. This man had a huge hernia. After Swami then moved towards the gent's side, he felt something wet on his dhoti. He saw a trace of blood. So he came to the camp. When we examined him, that whole swelling was gone with a clean cut surgical wound and stitches. One stare of Swami had done the surgical operation.
And he had stitches too to show for it.
He had stitches to show that this thing was done. You have to see to believe. You know, so this indicates
the power of the look.
And then, as I said, I'm going back to energy medicine all the time. Because I qualified in energy medicine using advanced tachyon technology, going up to the PhD level, although I didn't take the exam. And tachyon is the name of a subatomic particle faster than light. It's the first particle that comes from the formless, assumes form, and then goes back to the formless. As it comes from the formless, it carries with it all the intelligence, the energy. Now, with this background, now I know Swami is a powerhouse of tachyon. If tachyon particle we use using a crystal for healing, what would be the power of multiplied so many times from the look of Swami to even do anything?
That's why he said that whatever my eyes rest energizes. On is transmuted.
Transmutes. Mm. So this is the very subtle way or the delicate way of knowing what's happening in the realm of energy.
Fascinating information.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My God.
And on the same subject of energy, I would just like to share. It was in April 1999, on a Good Friday, Swami gave me a glimpse of the energy. As he came walking into Sai Ramesh Hall, he gave me a glimpse of this whole white energy around him. It was just not around the head and body. It was going across several feet, right across. And as he bent to receive a letter from a lady devotee, because that was where Swami used to come and then go on to the gent side, he gave me a glimpse of his energy going from his hand into the person as he received that letter.
Wow.
And not only that, the energy also went back areas where Swami had not even gone.
In the Darshan Hall.
In the Darshan Hall. So, Swami has said many times, you know, we think Swami has not come here, but his energy has already flowed. Even
what
in
is the energy
India.
Like? What does to the
it was absolute
it
white energy, dynamic, moving. You can normally can't see energy with your naked eyes. But he gave me that rare glimpse of observing his energy. I had only read in his gift of darshan that as I come round, my energy flows from me to you. And if you indulge in any activity, talking or doing anything, that energy comes back to me, dissipates. So, after my darshan, you should go to a quiet place and assimilate and absorb that energy. I had only read that, but that on that day, he gave me a glimpse of what I had read to understand that his energy was just not only in Sai Kulwant Hall, but was going beyond.
This was Sai Ramesh Hall.
Sai Ramesh Hall.
In Vrindavan.
Vrindavan.
Yeah.
You know about Baranowski and the aura that he had seen.
Yes. The famous Kirlian photographer Frank Baranowski, who could read auras. Yes.
So this was another instance to show that, you know, Swami's energy going everywhere. So even a mere touch, even if his robe touches you, that is sufficient to energize you. Because he's all that
That's
energy.
That's why it's so precious to have the gift of a robe. Many people do.
Yes.
And for generations to come, I think it will continue to energize anybody who comes in contact with it.
And Swami has also said, anybody can produce a ring, a bracelet, a lot of people do.
Yes.
But the difference between that and mine is that mine is suffused with energy. So whatever he gives you, whatever he has done, you know, is all filled with energy. Limitless. That's the beauty of this thing.
And I see some such objects on yourself. You have a ring there which is shining on your index finger.
This was given in 1990 during our 25th wedding anniversary. And there is a wonderful story behind this.
And I believe he gave you a long, long interview for almost 2 hours as a family.
In those days, Swami used to come very early in the morning darshan.
Hmm.
So I've got everything written down. At 6:50 a.m., he called us into the interview room.
Your wife and yourself?
No, we had other family members who had come. Okay. My daughter, sister-in-laws, and all of them were there. And then Swami, when he came at darshan time, he looked at me. So I just got up. I said, so Swami only said, oh, wedding anniversary today? I said, yes, Swami. I said, I've come with my family. He said, go. So that's how we went inside.
So exciting even
to
hear.
It was all exciting. At those days, Mr. Kialdas used to be with Swami, and we knew the family very well because Kialdas' sister lives in Dubai. So that's how we know the family well. And that was a wonderful thing. So inside the interview, there were other people around. Swami talked to them, and then he looked at me and he said, I will give you something. And by a wave of his hand, he materialized and brought this ring. And I must tell you, it was white to start with.
Like a stone?
Like a stone.
Clear stone.
And as he was holding, colors started coming. And I have a picture of this ring right in front of you.
This is the picture of what was on the ring?
On the ring.
There is a beautiful statue of Vishnu, and in the chest of Vishnu is the face of Shirdi Baba, and below that there is Satya Sai, and there is so much detail. I think these are flowers Satya Sai Baba is wearing, a garland.
All right. When he materialized the ring, he asked me, what do you see? I could see at that time only Shirdi Baba's face.
Okay.
I said, Swami Shirdi Baba. He gave it next. He passed it on to a student next to me. He said, Swami, it looks like Krishna. At that time, the outline was forming.
Oh, it was developing.
Developing. No, this is the wonderful part of it. And then Swami took it back in his hand, and then the whole thing came. And he said, this is Mahavishnu. In the heart of Vishnu is Shirdi Baba. In the heart of Shirdi is Satya Sai. And in the heart of Satya Sai, he told me in Tamil, Prema Sai is there.
Can you see Prema Sai?
You can see the outline. You can see in the heart, the white with the hand. If you still blow it up, you can really see an outline.
Okay. Oh, now I can see Prem Sai.
You can see just the outline.
Yeah, a small little figure in the chest of Satya Sai Baba.
And then he's got an oval ring around it.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the Vishwarupa, the nature. You can see the sun, the sky,
yes,
the earth, the mountains and the sea.
Yes, and the sun is right behind the head of the Vishnu. It's like a halo.
Yeah, and now you see my ring has become white.
Yeah.
There's another a small incident behind it. I had given a copy of this ring, and it's a photograph, to a devotee in Muscat. It was an office bearer in Muscat, and his daughter's birthday. After they had their bhajans, Amrit started coming on the photograph in their house in Muscat. At the same time, Amrit started coming on my ring.
Wow. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
In the same location?
I didn't know. I didn't know what was happening. When I met him, he said, oh, this is, there was Amrit in our photograph. So the whole thing had come up, raised.
Oh.
And everyone, you know, it's on my index finger. When you shake hands or talk to anybody, everyone asking, what is this? What is this? So it was curiosity. I said, just let me see what is underneath. And the whole thing came off.
Oh, I see.
And got separated. Now I can't even find that part. I think it's possibly gone. And I asked Swami several times. Swami, this is faded. It's not there. He never used to give me any answer. And the final thing, he just took my hand and put it down as if to say, don't ask me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later, when I met some senior devotees, and he said, no, see, Swami has done with a purpose. Until now, you were attached to that form. He wants you to go to the formless. His energy is there, but he wants you to be not attached to the form. So that was the explanation. Maybe it was a means to satisfy me or something, or it could be form to formless.
Dr. Acharya, I would like to backtrack a little. You know, for almost 2 hours when you were with Swami in the interview room with your family for the 25th wedding anniversary celebration, what was the conversation like? What are your memories of that interaction?
After he had spoken to all the devotees in the room, Swami said, ask anything. You can ask anything you want. So since Swami gave us that liberty, we asked Swami, how was it during the time of Rama and Krishna, Yuga? So Swami said, during that time, Maya was prevalent. Maya is present even now.
Illusion, the power of illusion.
The power of illusion. And then he gave an example of sage Vishwamitra. He says, sage Vishwamitra was such a learned person, he completely forgot Rama avatar, Sri Rama as God, and he was teaching Bala and Atibala mantra to Sri Rama. If that was the power of Maya in those days, you can imagine what the power of Maya would be today. That was one. And then I was sitting next to Swami. I said, Swami, please show us your Vishwarupa. Because he said, ask anything. So I thought, why not we ask that? Then he looked at me and he said, you see all the devotees who are seated outside? I am in each one of them. The day you see me in each and every person, that is my Vishwarupa. I am in you, you are in me, you and I are one. So he was giving a glimpse of that divinity, saying that there is no difference between you and me. You are divine, I know I am divine. You have to reach that stage. And he has said this on many occasions, including in the hospitals. He says, you have to see me in every patient who comes to the hospital. Only when they go happy, that I am happy, because I am in each one of them. So this is something we need to practice. We sometimes forget. And then in one interview, when he talked about quality, and he said about cow's milk and donkey's milk, and he said, the lowest amongst the animals is donkey, the lowest amongst the birds is the crow, and the lowest among human being, he said, is one who criticizes. Because when you criticize, you're criticizing the Lord in you. So he said, don't criticize. If you find something wrong, because we were all office bearers, and people used to come and say all sorts of things. He said, deal with them gently, patiently, softly. No criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's a very useful lesson for us to learn.
For all of us, my God, yes.
I would like to share two of my personal experiences in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Please.
One was in 1992. It also happened to be on the 20th of January. As I was sitting outside in Darshan, I noticed a very clear vision of Shirdi Sai Baba face appearing on Swami's door.
Interview room door?
Interview room door.
Were you on the veranda?
No, I was seated very, I could see the door.
Okay, on the, from the gent's side.
From the inside. And I just rubbed my eyes. I said, am I seeing something? And it was still very vivid, very clear. So a thought went through my mind. Is this true or am I imagining? And the bhajan that started when this thing was happening was Shirdi Sai Dwaraka Mai Prashanti Vasi Sai Ram. As if confirming that, you know, why should that bhajan come on at that moment of time, this thing. So this is one thing. And then I must also say, we're very close with Raja Umapati Rao and his family from Hyderabad. He used to stay in SB 27. So my wife and I, after darshan, we were just passing along that south block. I saw a person I can't miss, like Shirdi Baba, sitting on the stone bench. I told my wife, look, this is Shirdi Baba. I will go and say Sai Ram. You know, that thing came out from me. She said, don't be silly. It's not Baba. I said, he is exactly Shirdi Baba. You can't you see his face, the kafni, everything is exactly Shirdi Baba. He said, come, come. So we just walked past by. And when he looked back, he was not there.
You didn't say Sai Ram to him?
No, because she stopped me from...
Oh.
And I really cursed myself as how I missed that.
What did he look like? Please describe him to us.
Exactly. Dressed in white, just as in the photograph, as if it was Shirdi Baba sitting there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He had a bandana.
I don't think it was imagination because he was there.
Your wife saw the person too,
yeah,
right?
Yes, she also saw.
But, and he had his bandana tied?
Yes, everything. You know, exactly Shirdi Baba. So that was one. And then I see Shirdi Baba face on Swami's door and this thing happening.
And then the bhajan.
And the bhajan. And then the other thing was, we used to go for a walk every day in Dubai in the evening. That's the time when the lights come on. And on the telecommunication tower where all the discs were there, there was a black disc, and then the light comes on, there's an orange glow. It looks exactly like Swami. So we used to enjoy that thing, and we used to go at that time and talk about Swami while going for a walk. In our visit to Puttaparthi, next visit to Puttaparthi, after we had talked about Swami and this thing, Swami stands near me, talks to an Italian going for a walk. He said, no, Swami, I do my exercise, I don't go for a walk. Eh, going for a walk with wife? He says, Swami, I'm not married. I'm sitting next. I know this is all directed to me. You know, as Swami is telling me, but he's looking at
the Italian person.
No, going for a walk with wife, talking about Swami. I then realized the omnipresence of Swami. We are talking in Dubai, going for a walk, and Swami tells me what we talked there.
Dr. Acharya, you have served the Sai organization so ably for so many years in a country which is predominantly an Islamic nation. How did you go about establishing with your team such a big network of Sai Seva, Sai activities?
We had to do it in a very discreet manner. And by God's grace, it all happened. In one interview, one of the chairmen asked Swami, we are scared to do bhajans. What should we do? Swami just said, why fear when I am here? Go ahead and do it. And we also had some problem, and we were told to go and meet the ruler. This was Sheikh Hamdan. Who was in charge of the municipality, in charge of this thing. In fact, Mr. G.B. Choitram and myself did go. And we showed the ruler Swami's hospital. First I asked him, do you know, have you heard of Satya Sai Baba? He said, no. I said, he is our spiritual master. And this is the free hospital that he is running. And twice a week, we sing the glory of God. And that's all we do. I said, so in different languages. And then he said, because I was working with the government, and then he said, if anything happens, send them to me. And that was the last we ever heard.
So there was no difficulty after that?
No. So,
What is your advice to our devotees who are living in parts of the world?
Swami has said very clearly, wherever you are, you follow the rules of the land.
Your good citizenship.
As long as you follow the rules, abide by the rules
of that country,
wherever you are, he has said that. And then when it came to seva activities, we even made a brochure both in English and Arabic, showed it to the municipality, and they even registered us as Sai group for blood donation. So that is how we were able to do service activities. Not only in the blood donation, we also went into other NGO functions and we're contributing.
Is there any other advice Swami gave you regarding Sai Seva, Sai organization activities, Dr. Acharya?
One, when we established in a region and we had different groups, so when it came to youth, he gave on what the youth should follow. Then when it came to Balvikas, we then went into Balvikas to education and human values. We even had a lot of seminars and conferences. And Brother Jumsai from Thailand also participated in that, which was attended by a wide section of the society. When it came to medical seva, we asked him, Swami, what seva should we do? And Swami said, any service, do any service. When we asked him about cancer support, he said, very good. So he gave guidelines on how to go about cancer support group, how to deal with handicapped.
Can you share those with us, if you remember?
We started doing counseling sessions, because basically one, people are very disturbed when they come to know about their illness. And so how to go about relaxing and accepting the situation. At the same time, providing answers to their problems. So we used to have small support groups attending once a month to these activities in the hospital. And then we also went into old age homes, handicapped people, and even did some cultural activities for them, entertaining them. So this is how we came into service activities into the society. That way.
I see. And as a doctor, did he advise you professionally from time to time on how to deliver health care?
Not in a direct way, but he gave us advice on various things, like, as I told you, on blood donation and things
like
that.
And to see
that.
God in the patient.
Yes. And in one instance, when the children, when he was addressing the children, he gave them advice on, do not waste food. Food is God. Do not waste money. Money leads to evil. Do not waste time. Time waste is life waste. And do not waste energy. And he said, when it comes to energy, it's not only your activities, but all that you see, feel, touch, hear, smell, through all the senses. And then he said, it is lack of energy that leads to allergy.
Oh, lack of energy leads to allergies.
Allergy. So, because that's basically, when you don't have energy, your immune system is down. And that's how all the...
You become sensitive to allergens.
Sensitive to other things. And then in some instances, he has even given advice on food. Because as is the food, he has said, so is the mind. So it's very important that you regulate your food habits. And in one instance, while we were seated, he looked up. There was a ceiling fan with the three blades. He said, you see this fan with three blades and they are in perfect harmony. He said, your life, the body, mind and spirit should be in harmony like the three blades of the fan. Not only that, your three doshas, vata, pitta, kapha, the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, all must be in harmony. And he says, the key to health is moderation. So that explains in a nutshell the entire principles of Ayurveda.
Yes. Balancing.
Balance. Okay. So you have to be in balance.
Harmony, yeah.
And when the three qualities are in balance, he said, you become a Mahatma. If they are not in balance, you become a Duratma.
Ouch. Most of us suffer from serious imbalance. So.
And then to the children, he gave in a very simple way the meaning of the sloka Purnamada.
What did he say? Please tell us.
So he said, Purna is whole circle. If you cut the circle into half, what do you see? You said letter C.
Letter C, yes, yeah. A semicircle.
This has a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
So what has a beginning and the end is temporary. This is science. If you join the two C's together, it becomes a circle. There is no beginning, no end. That is spirituality.
I see.
So in a very simple nutshell to the children, we explained what science and spirituality is.
Mm-hmm.
Science is this, spirituality is that.
Mm-hmm.
Science is limited, that has no limits. So, in a nutshell, very profound things were.
And said so simply, yet so profound.
Profound. And indirectly, Swami asked me once how his work. And I said, Swami, there are some administrative problems. So, he said, treat all work as God's work. Don't think you are doing your work, he said. And when you treat your work as God's work, it has to be with quality. So, when you do it in that fashion,
you can't be shoddy at all.
Work then becomes worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to divinity. So, there is nothing like mine and yours. Everything is God's work.
Imagine if each one of us around the world performed our duties
with that
thought,
principle in mind.
We'd all excel.
We all excel, yes. Because he says, you're all powerhouses. We don't realize.
Mm.
So, we need to tap into that inner power.
True. Almost most of your interactions with Baba were with your family, your two daughters and your wife. Did he at any point in time give you family-related advice that you could possibly share?
Yes, on several occasions he did that. We used to ask Swami, bless us all. He says, it's because of my blessings you are all here. You don't have to ask. So the very fact that you are able to come into the divine presence itself is a great blessing. And he gave the children advice on education. And then we asked him about marriage and other related things. So he gave us guidelines to follow. And then in 1983, he told me, you've been out of India for a long time. Start thinking of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, Swami, my two children are in school. They won't finish till July. He said, no, I know. Not now. By 85, 86, think of coming back. So in 1985, when we had some interaction with Swami, and since he had already said 85, we had made arrangements to put them in school and we're just planning.
The school in Bangalore.
He said, don't come back now. Stay for 5 years. So that was 85. Then in 90, when he gave us that long interview, again asked Swami, he said, no, stay another 5 years. So that was 10 years. And in 95, I asked Swami again. Every 5 years, it used to happen. So that went on for 20 years.
Wow.
And then after that, he never put 5 years, but he just said, continue. And then in 2009, the call came to come and take charge of this. At one time, we both thought that Swami has now forgotten. But Swami never forgets. How can he forget?
Truly.
So, but the time had to come. And then now looking back, I can see, we had to form the Satya Sai organization there. We had to carry all that thing forward. So we are glad that he had chosen us as part of his global mission that way. And now there are Sai centers all over the world.
And many even in the UAE.
And then if I can recall, in 1985, during one of my visits, I had brought an acupuncture machine. And Dr. Chari used to be in the general hospital at that time. So I thought it might be useful here. And I had brought it with me and I had the chance of giving it to Swami in the veranda. Swami took that. Next day, Swami came during darshan and he talked about acupuncture and acupressure to the devotees in the veranda.
Hmm. Now, was he in favor of this kind of treatment?
I don't know, but 32 years later, today we have set up a wellness clinic with facilities for acupuncture and acupressure.
In Whitefield Hospital.
In Whitefield Hospital. So, if I can just only go back in time and see and try and figure out how things have slowly fallen in place.
In God's own time.
In His own time. Mm. We are limited by time, but it's timeless for Swami. So that you know, just an inkling into what is to happen.
Mm.
So whatever is happening now, whatever is going to happen, these are all programmed already.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to wait for that and do our work and try and fit into that program.
Mm-hmm. Now, currently you're heading the Sri Satisai General Hospital in Whitefield, which has had a massive shift because you've moved from one location to the other. You've gone to the super speciality hospital and a lot of inner re-engineering has taken place. Do you have moments, Dr. Acharya, when you're not sure about making a decision and which way to go when you're advising your patients? Because now you can't run up to Swami and ask him in person.
What we do is, we know Swami is everywhere and we just go to the shrine, stand there, pray to Him, and then intuitively you get the answer. And I just like to narrate an incident that happened. A patient was admitted in the hospital, he was almost terminal, was related to one of the professors in Whitefield College. And I got a call from the professor saying, you know, should we keep the patient in the hospital or should we take him home? We don't know what to do. I said, look, I'm in Bhagwan's shrine at this moment. I will put what you have told me to Swami and I'll wait for an answer and see what happens. So, I prayed to Bhagwan. I said, this is the problem. What should we do? Should we take him home? At that moment, the garland snapped and fell.
From Baba's picture.
No, why should it happen at that moment? I told the professor, he's also Swami's devotee. I said, we got the answer. So, they decided to take the patient home.
How did you know that between the two choices, taking the patient home was the right thing?
No, because it happened when I finished the second option.
Okay.
So I knew, because if it had done on the first option, that would have been the thing. When it happened with the second option, I knew that probably that was the answer. And retrospectively, it was the right answer. They took the patient home and he passed away peacefully in his own surroundings. And so there are many a times this thing happens. When we are looking for an answer, you just have to pray. And I think we just need to connect to that source. The moment you do that, the reply will come with the same intensity. So, we all know He's everywhere. We just have to tap to that source.
Dr. Acharya, I see a beautiful picture of a lingam on your desk. What is that about?
That lingam was given in 1992 when we brought a group of Balvika students. We were 60 in the group.
And was it given to you?
Actually, it was given to my wife.
I see.
And since we were 60, Swami gave us an interview inside the mandir.
Mm-hmm. Large group.
In the large group. And He talked to the students. And then He said, who is the leader of the group? Mm-hmm. Who is it? There's one. And then He spoke to my wife, asked her how her health was. And then Swami materialized this lingam and said, this is Atma lingam. And He told her, you should pour water, do abhishekam.
Mm-hmm.
Then He said, where is husband? So He said, Swami, I know, He said. After you have done, your husband will do the abhishekam. And then both of you take this water. And He said, whoever comes home, give them this water. It will cure all diseases. And we've had run of miracles. I would just like to share a couple of miracles of the divine lingam and water.
Which is somewhat light pink in color.
It is grayish in color.
Okay, on the picture it looks somewhat pinkish. And it has those two eyes reflecting.
I don't know, possibly the flash or I'm not very sure. But you can see a crescent there. This is a crescent moon.
Yes.
Hmm.
That I see.
Swami said, this is Atma Lingam. There was a Sri Lankan devotee who moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And just before he left Dubai,
mm-hmm.
he had come home. Just as Swami had said, whoever comes home, give them this water. He took a bottle of water. And after that, he left. A few months later, I got a letter from him. He said, "Remember, doctor, you gave me a bottle of water. I sent it to a friend of mine in Colombo. This friend of mine, his son was suffering from cancer. So after drinking that water, when they went for blood check, everything was normal." So that was the one instance of a miracle of this water. The second, I've had many come home complaining of some ailments or the other. I tell them, take this water and wherever it's bothering you, put this water. A girl who had to appear for an exam had severe ear pain. I didn't even look into the ear. I told, just take a drop, put it in the ear. And by the time she left the house, the pain had disappeared. On another instance, somebody was due for surgery. They just used this water. When they went to Chennai for a checkup, the doctor said there was no need to. And another example is a doctor. She had, while getting down from the auto rickshaw while she was visiting India, she hit her head on the bar of the auto rickshaw. And then a couple of weeks later, she was having some neurological problem. One day as she was driving, she started to see double vision and she knew something was really wrong. When they did the MRI, they noticed that there was what we call a subdural hematoma. Her brother is a neurosurgeon in the U.S. and he said, come immediately, we need to operate and evacuate. In the meantime, she had taken through a cousin of mine who lived in the same building. I asked for this lingam water. And after 4 or 5 days of using it, she noticed her double vision had cleared. She did go to the U.S. When they repeated the scan, there was no need for surgery. And this was a doctor.
Where is this miraculous lingam now?
Now it is with me.
Do you pray to it daily, doctor?
Yeah, I do Abhishekam.
You might as well bring that to your practice and forget about the medicines.
Interesting. But so when Swami says something, it will cure all diseases, it will cure. I think we just need that faith.
Faith.
Faith,
yeah.
And confidence.
And also the recipient should have the faith and the confidence.
Yeah.
Yes, that is very true. Now, I have a question. You know, I noticed that you've been to the finest of colleges and hospitals in the UK to acquire your education. And later in life, you turned towards alternative integrative medicine, including energy medicine. What drove you towards that stream?
Even when I qualified in my allopathic practice, somehow I was not satisfied with the way we were going about in treatment, particularly with all the chronic diseases. We were using a lot of steroids, we were using a lot of immune suppressants, and I felt we were not doing the right thing. So this was always at the back of my mind. When I went into energy medicine, I got a lot of answers which I couldn't find in allopathic medicine. And the simple thing was, if you keep any energy suppressed for a long time, it will find its expression elsewhere, based on which is your weak point. So, for example, when it comes to, a lot of people use steroids. Allopathic physicians use a lot of steroids. Cases of asthma or of allergies and so many things. When you use for a long time, you're going to get complications of diabetes, hypertension or increased blood pressure, acidity, thinning of bones and all these things. So depending on where the weak spot lies, you will find these happening. Ultimately, you will find that your original complaint has gone, but you are now suffering with 4 and 5 other disorders as a result of that treatment.
So the side effects.
So I was always questioning to myself, am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. So when I went into energy medicine, in energy medicine we use a lot of herbal and natural supplements. So that got me interested. Why not an alternative approach? Why not find things that are equivalent, as effective as this, without the side effects? And fortunately, I had the backing of the ruling family to set up the first integrative medicine center in Dubai, incorporating traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, homeopathy, Unani medicine, and ozone, cologne hydrotherapy, all under one roof. And the chief of integrative medicine is Dr. Andrew Weil from Phoenix, Arizona. We had invited him to come to our center, and he was amazed to see, he says, you've got all modalities under one roof. He says, you're doing a wonderful job. So that gave us a lot of confidence to go forward.
This is in Dubai, in open Dubai. To the citizens of...
It's open to all.
Okay.
So how does one go? And we had several conferences introducing this subject. So what we did was, in today's technology and science, it's impossible to practice traditional medicine in its purest form. So what we did, we took the technology and the know-how of modern medicine combined with the wisdom of our traditional medicine. So we switch over from one to another as the need arises. There is no doubt that as far as acute medicine, emergencies and surgery is concerned, there is nothing to replace allopathic medicine. But once you have overcome the acute problem, in order to minimize the side effects of drugs, we use alternative approach so that we give the best of both worlds to the patient. So this has been my practice over the last 15 years, and it's working out very well. In fact, now I'm getting patients whom I have put them on allopathic medicine in the hospital. They are now requesting me to take them off. So the pendulum is now swinging the other side, because medicines are getting expensive. As new and newer medicines come, they all have potential side effects. So we need to find an alternative approach, a cheaper and effective approach for these problems.
You know, we hear about the superbugs that are totally resistant to antibiotics, and apparently 12 have been identified, and all 12 are found in the Indian subcontinent. What would alternative medicine say about enhancing one's immunity to resist them or deal with them?
Allopathic medicine, as I told you, has everything anti, including antibiotics.
Yes. But nothing is pro.
Nothing is pro. It's yes. only complementary medicine that gives you the probiotics.
Yes.
But more important than that, it has now been shown scientifically there is a particular variety of honey called Manuka honey from New Zealand. That's the number one grade of honey in the world. And in the Western world also, research has been done to show that Manuka honey can destroy the MRSA resistant organisms. So this is one approach where you could use honey on the wounds and you don't have to give strong antibiotics. We also have very effective neem and neem products. You will notice that around a neem tree, you won't find any insects around. Neem is such a powerful antiseptic. So we can use antiseptics instead of antibiotics. So there are alternative approaches to use. The second part is you can boost your immune system with a number of natural substances.
Such as?
The most important is turmeric.
Good to hear that. So curcumin.
Curcumin. Mm. Curcumin is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. So also is ginger. Ginger is also, so instead of using all the antacids and all, you just boost your digestion power with ginger. You can use ginger and honey. You can use ginger and lemon or ginger, lime and honey. These are all combinations available. You have all the greens, coriander, curry leaves, which are all very rich in iron.
Spinach.
You have spinach. You have organic spirulina, which is a superfood.
About spirulina, some people are of the opinion that if you take it over a period of time, you don't absorb B complexes.
No, it's got to be preferably an organic.
Okay.
And you need small quantities.
I see.
And a very powerful superfood is drumsticks, moringa.
Moringa, yes.
Though, you know, everybody can afford it. It's a very strong immune stimulant. You can use the leaves, the flower, and the vegetable itself. So instead of just making plain dal, you add moringa drumsticks to it.
And it's frequently used in making sambar.
Yes. And then we have a number of nuts and seeds. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, you've got walnut, pine nut, almond, cashews, all these are pistachios. So what you could do is you could have two of each.
Just two nuts.
Two nuts of each.
That's enough?
That's because it's enough, is rich enough to provide all the omega-3 fatty acids, all the, and it's very good for children. See, children today are going into all the fast foods and all, but if you give them these nuts and seeds and tell them to munch, there's nothing like that to give them. These are all superfoods.
Dr. Acharya, there is a big public dialogue or debate going on about the virtues of eating apricot pips, the seeds, because some people feel that it is contains an element described as B14 or
B17.
B17. And others feel it has high levels of cyanide, which will affect the health adversely. What are your thoughts on it?
Now, B17 is a vitamin termed amygdalin. And in fact, it's been shown that substances which are rich in B17 are also highly anti-cancerous substances. But if you see, now there is no doubt heavy metal contamination of the soil. We have loads of mercury, chromium, aluminium, lead, all these entering the soil. Unfortunately, these are all due to the toxins coming from our factories and pollutants. So if we don't take care of our environment, we are going to suffer at the expense of eating these things ourselves. So one is the soil part. That's where the partly the organic produce comes in, so that you are free from all these contaminants. Second, the goodness of anything lies in the seed. And Swami has said, in one going back to it, what Swami has said about, he said the youth is the seed, the tree comes from the seed, and from the tree comes the seed. So the seed is the one that is perpetual, and it has the potential of the tree contained in it. So you can see that anything that comes from the seed, the sprouts, are all very rich in nutritive nutraceuticals. So we unfortunately take the pulp and throw the seeds. Another very powerful superfood is pomegranate seed. We should eat the fruit with the seed. We shouldn't throw the seed. Same
so is true. So chew it up and take the fiber in.
Yeah. So all the goodness is in the seed.
It's interesting for me to note that Swami's both general hospitals, one in Prashanthi Nilayam as well as the one in Whitefield, are headed by two doctors who are highly qualified in the Western system of medicine and yet have a lot of awareness and knowledge and faith in the integrative approach. Yourself and Dr. Menon, we hear the same strain that you have to treat the body, mind and spirit as a holistic medicine.
Yes.
And your faith in all these superfoods. Any other tips for the health of our listeners?
I would like to, on this subject of integrative medicine, when we set up our center, I was told, given instructions, I want the best. So we went very deeply into all systems of medicine.
I see. Swami gave the instructions?
No, it was when we set up this thing there. And when I went into Ayurveda, into its depth, and we invited Professor Lucas from the Bangalore Ayurvedic College on a two-year contract to set up the Ayurvedic section there, I had a lot of interaction with him. And then when I went deep into it, I realized that Ayurveda is a perfect science if we follow everything to the letter. And there are diseases, but it's all, as I said, balance. If you keep your Vata, Pitta, Kapha in balance, you stay in good health. It's only when one of the doshas goes out of balance that you suffer sort of side effects of that imbalance.
What about genetic predisposed in...
There are genetic factors. Anything, the very fact that we have come on this earth is due to our past karmas. So we do carry an element of our genetic past into this
Can that
life.
Be corrected or rectified?
I think it's only the power of prayer that can do that. There's nothing more powerful than that. Swami has said, if you surrender to the Lord, He will take care. And I'm sure He will take care of everything.
Surrender is the key.
Surrender is the key.
Dr. Acharya, do people sometimes ask, why do you believe that Baba is God?
A number of people have asked me.
What is your answer?
Answer is, I know He is God. For one reason, we all pray to an unknown force whom we call God. Or we talk to a idol or we talk to a picture or this thing, we meditate, keeping something in our mind. And if this person to whom we pray or meditate tells you exactly what you have prayed, to me he is God. I would just like to share my experience on that. I had a ear problem. This was in the mid-80s. And I was thinking to myself, should I take some medication or take some injection or go for acupuncture or do some of this thing? I had not shared this thought with anybody, with nobody. I just talked and not even talked to my doctor about this. When I came to Parthi, Swami called for an interview, and as soon as we sat down, he looked at me and said, ear problem? I said, yes, Swami. No injection, no acupuncture, no medication. This is exactly the three things
that you were considering.
That you were considering and praying for an answer. So I got my answer in a physical form to my prayers. So for me, he is God.
And for us too.
Yes.
My final question to you, Dr. Acharya. More than 5 years have passed since the Mahasamadhi has happened. Has anything changed for you as a devotee?
As a devotee, in fact, I can say my faith in Swami has increased, because he has always said, and he also quoted, don't be attached to my form, be attached to my principles, he used to say. The form will change, the form will disappear, but the name will persist forever. And the principles on which it was based, if you analyze Sri Satya Sai Baba, Sri stands for divinity, mm-hmm. Satya is truth, and Baba stands for bliss, awareness, Atma. Beauty, awareness, bliss, Atma. Satchitananda. So the entire thing is in the name. So if you only repeat his name, do the Namasvarana, meditate on him, his principles, I think you just will carry him in your heart. And on a personal note, while in Hyderabad, we had a wonderful opportunity of being with Swami for several days in Shivam. I had a photograph of Swami and I wanted Swami to autograph that. Swami took the photograph, took the pen from my hand, looked at me and he said, when I'm already in your heart, why do you want this? And he gave it back. So when he has said that he is in your heart, if you get that feeling that he is in your heart with you, I think you can carry on wherever you are, at all times, at any times. I think that is my take-home message.
Well, on that very sage note, Dr. Acharya, I thank you so much on behalf of all our listeners. It's been very enlightening for me to hear you, and I'm sure our listeners are going to benefit tremendously from your wisdom.
Thanks once again for giving me this opportunity.
It is our honor and our pleasure, sir. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 1st of June 2017, and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is 49 minutes past 10 a.m. You just heard Trisve Divinity with Dr. Upendra Acharya. So do you agree with me that this interview is a keeper and must be heard over and over again? Well, we are eagerly looking forward to your feedback to this episode of Trisve Divinity with Dr. Acharya. As always, you can send us your feedback at listener@radiosai.org. And in case you have a question for Dr. Acharya, you can email it to us again at listener@radiosai.org, and we will gladly forward the same to him on your behalf. And please be sure to listen to it again to grasp everything that is said in there. There is so much gravitas, yet it's expressed so simply, isn't it? And now, dear brothers and sisters, it is time for me to share with you the highlights of the grade 12 results of the students of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School here in Prashanthi Nilayam, Puttaparthi. These exams are national exams and they are conducted by the Central Board of Secondary Education or CBSE, and lakhs of students, lakhs means hundreds of thousands of students across India take these annually. This is the result you need to go to university and pursue higher education. In March of this year, 124 of Swami's beloved students appeared in this exam. Of these 124 students, 123 passed with top grade of first class. This is a first class score by 99.2% of the students who appeared in the exam. Out of these 124, 119 passed with distinction. Of the 124, 39.2%, which is exactly 49 students, scored, listen to this, above 90% marks. And since 49 students have scored above 90% marks, I will not be able to read 49 names on this show, but I will gladly share with you the names of the top four students who have achieved the top three ranks. The third spot is shared by two young ladies. They are Swami's beloved daughters, S. Sai Jyoti and Vibhuti. Sai Jyoti has scored 96.2% marks and Vibhuti has also scored 96.2% marks. Congratulations to both of them, and they share the third rank. In second position is Bhagwan Baba's sincere and hardworking son, Kartikeya Jaiswal. Kartikeya Jaiswal has scored 96.6%. Congratulations to Kartikeya. And in the first spot is Bhagwan Baba's precious princess, his daughter, V. Sai Rachna. Sai Rachna has scored an amazing 96.8% in her grade 12 exams. So congratulations to Vibhuti, Sai Jyoti, Kartikeya and Sai Rachna for amazing marks. And it's interesting, the highest mark is 96.8 and the third rank is 96.2. There's only a difference of 0.4%. So it's 96.8, 96.6 and 96.2 for the first top rank, three ranks of the Satya Sai School. Congratulations to all the students, to their teachers and parents who have contributed to this success. And of course, it's the divine blessings of Bhagwan Baba that help our students to achieve and scale such heights of success year after year. As you can imagine, once again, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School of Prashantinilayam is ranked amongst India's top schools. That is for academic excellence, for the score in the CBSE exam. We do much more than that. And in that list of toppers, the best schools for academic excellence, our school, incidentally, is the one and only school that has a few unique features, which include the following. It's founded by the Avatar. The schools have world-class infrastructure and facilities. These schools have the world's most motivated and dedicated teachers who have higher aspirations for being in the profession. Their level of dedication, sincerity, and hard work are incomparable. These schools are open to all without any discrimination on the basis of region, religion, caste, or financial abilities or status. And, of course, it is the only list on that and the only school on that entire list which does not charge any fee whatsoever. Yes, you heard it right. The Sai schools in Sai University have no tuition fee, no lab charges, no library fee, no computer fee, no this fee, that fee, no hidden cost, nothing. The only fee that is required is your commitment to the system of education, which calls for discipline and dedication. Because Satya Sai education balances both academic excellence with character building. Without this feature, any education under any name cannot be called Satya Sai education. Swami has always maintained a fee-free policy. And by the way, this no-cost-to-the-beneficiary approach extends to all facets of Sai education, Sai healthcare, including primary, tertiary care that we offer here, and in our hospitals in Whitefield and Puttaparthi. All diagnostic procedures, all medicines, highly specialized surgeries, and much more. The incarnation of ultimate compassion, Bhagwan Baba trades only in one currency, and that is of pure love. No need for rupees, dollars, euros, yen, pesos, nothing. Solicitation of any funds in any form is strictly prohibited by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. That clean way of operating the Sai mission is the Sai way and the only way. It does not allow for any deviation from the path of Dharma. On that happy note, dear listeners, I wish you a saisome, awesome day ahead. Please be well, take care, and do whatever it takes to stay in a positive space. Right now, Let us bow at the lotus feet of the Divine Mother, our beloved Sai Ma, Pyari Ma, and thank her for the amazing results achieved by His students. It's such joy for all of us, for the entire global Sai family, to see that year after year, our school, and it's so nice, it is the, I should also mention, in that entire list of top best schools of India, for in terms of CBSE results, we are the only school that is in set up in a rural area. Not in a big city, not in a big, or in a hill station where the rich and the famous send their children. The truthful, the hardworking and the devoted have the opportunity to have access to world-class education here in Prashanthi Nilayam. And money is never an issue. Because where there is God, there is abundance of everything flowing. And it almost cheapens to bring in this concept of solicitation, seeking, begging, asking for fee. That does not exist in the Sri Satya Sai orbit. On that note, I wish you well till we meet next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram, and enjoy the music.
धड़कन तुमा सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ
दिल की अनोखी सी धड़कन तुमा सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ
नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाए नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे
साईं मां प्यारी मां साईं मां प्यारी
मतलब बदलाया दो न जाना कभी तुम
तेरे बिना क्या दिन क्या रातें माँ तुम आ जाओ ना
तेरे बिना क्या दिन
तू मेरी माँ
नजरों में